Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Why don't we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit this time to you. We know, Lord, that we cannot understand your word with our just mental ability. But we need revelation that comes by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we ask that the Holy Spirit, our precious God, will speak into our heart and deposit the truth of God in our heart. We believe, Father, that faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. So why your people listening to this teaching, their faith will keep growing and they will become powerful people of prayer. Father, we want to learn more how to have a communion with you, how to fellowship with you, intimacy with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk about prayer again. And this is the third lesson in the series about prayer. And this series is actually for new believers, kind of brand new believers can listen. I taught the first one a few months ago in your unit meeting. And I taught another one in your care group last time. So hopefully I have enough time to finish it today. But the goal is to lay down just simple foundation for new believers how to pray. Let's look at Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 is a very powerful scripture, because Jesus himself, even though he was God, but he stripped off his glory, his power, and he came down to earth in the human form. So in the human form, he was walking like a man, like you and me, like a human being. And he revealed to us how a godly, anointed man or woman should walk on earth. In other words, he is God, and at the same time, he is a perfect example of a human being or a man. So we can learn from his lifestyle here that in Mark chapter 1 verse 35, I read from New King James Version. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Oh, must be still dark. sometimes hard to get up early in the morning. He went out and departed to a solitary place, the remote place. And there he prayed. He spent time with the Father. So I would like to recommend all of you to find time daily to spend with God. Maybe early in the morning. I think it depends on the lifestyle. For example, maybe for a mom with baby, hard to get up in the morning. You know, one day you may get married and have a small baby. You have to wake up all night, the baby wake up, something like that. So for the mom, maybe afternoon, because she needs to sleep in after the all-night baby business. But for certain people, early in the morning may be better. For certain people who work late at night, maybe evening before they go to work. You see what I mean? So we cannot just say only early in the morning. Any time that better for you, you set aside the time. Actually, this couple of days, God really convicted me that I need to pray more. And I need to spend more time with God in prayer. I feel more and more that I need to come out full time. Not because just meeting people, but I need to have full time to pray. You know, just sit down for 2 hours and pray. Because God told me that the work of God will be moved if we pray more. So if we don't pray, then we don't get direction from God. So even new believers, and you pray, you get direction from God. It's good to start your day with God. and the whole day you can have strength. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can pray like that at home, in your the English word we use word prayer closet. Prayer closet can be any place that you feel like you don't have anyone bother you. It can be in your car. Sometimes I pray in my car at the hospital. I just drive there to avoid traffic and sit in the car and pray for half an hour in the car. I don't want to walk into the hospital because going to be distracted. So I sit in my car late, put my seat down, no one can see me, and I just start to pray in tongue and read the Bible. Or sometimes I pray in my office during lunch break and close the door, something like that. But I try to improve my prayer life too. I mean, we all can improve. Okay, so, but you may say, Pastor, I really struggle with finding time to pray. I'm busy. I have so many things in my life. So I want to encourage you. I understand you fully. I really sympathize with you. And I face the same problem too. Especially right now, I have two jobs, pastor and doctor, medical doctor. So to find time to pray is not easy. But God encourages that at least start to pray short, 5 minutes, better than nothing. Maybe even driving the car on the freeway, pray, talk to God. Squeeze every single possible time to talk to the Lord. Amen. So at least pray short prayer, better than not praying at all day. So start something. Start to talk to God. And actually, you should be in the spiritual posture of prayer all day long. In other words, you should talk to God all day long. The Bible says, pray without ceasing, mean non-stop. You talk to God non-stop. You listen to God non-stop. Actually, while I am talking right now, I'm listening to God at the same time. Amen. I don't just teach by my paper, but I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Because God, prayer is a two-way communication. God talk to you and you talk to God. So you can talk to God and God can talk to you anytime. God wants to talk to you all the time. He loves you so much. Actually, like for example, every time I get email from people, except junk mail, like some junk mail that people pass on to 100 people. I don't have time to read those emails. I will erase it right away. I say I have no time to read junk email. But for personal email, I tell you, I read and I reply. You know, I feel the same way like God. I really love to communicate and commune with people to let them know that I care and I love them. And the same thing with God. God cares for us. Amen. And the best posture of prayer, if you can, is kneeling down. Lying down is dangerous because you can fall asleep. Sometimes it's good to walk around too, because when you walk around, you get yourself awake, alert. You know, you can walk around, you can kneel down. A few days ago, I was so shocked. I told Paul, my son, gonna go to bed. He was going to bed, and he said, "I'm gonna pray for you before you go to sleep." So he walked into his room first, and I walked in later on, and I found him kneeling down on the side of the bed, like this, put his hand up on the bed, and I was shocked. Wow, 13 years old knows how to kneel down. So I knelt down with him and lay hand on him and pray for him. So I was very happy that he learned how to humble before God. So kneeling down is a good posture. Some people have knee problem. They cannot kneel down. They can sit on a chair. But try to avoid any posture that will make you fall asleep. Okay? And even while you are praying, you need to... It's nothing wrong at all to... Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in prayer. You know, you remember Jesus said that God, He sent the Holy Spirit to us to be our helper. So the Holy Spirit can help us in anything, even how to pray. I always depended on the Holy Spirit when I pray for people, when I write email, or when I was talking to the Father, I would ask the Holy Spirit to pray to me. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that when you are weak, you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will help you to pray. He can help you to pray in your language, or He can help you to pray in tongues. And that will be the prayer that comes from the Father, you see. And that will be more powerful because you pray according to the Father's will. And I want to say that praying in the Spirit is very powerful, but I'm not going to talk about that subject today. We're going to learn that later on about praying in the Spirit. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The Bible says clearly that we want every single word that come out to be acceptable, to be acceptable in God's sight. And who knows the best, what is the word that acceptable to God? Not our mental. You know, I want to tell you this. Sometimes when you talk to God or you communicate with God or you walk with God, sometimes you have to shut your mind down, your head down, mental. You need to let everything flow out from your spirit, which is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit inside you will talk to your spirit, and your spirit will guide your mind. You should not be guided by your mind. You should be guided by your spirit. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, so your spirit, what to say. Amen. So sometimes, I give you example. Last Saturday, I was in Bangkok. And when I get up on the stage, right after worship, I prepare a very beautiful sermon. I was ready to preach. And all the guests were ready to listen to the good, powerful preaching from me. Suddenly, I feel that I have no anointing to preach. I could not preach. And God told me, today, you start lay hand now at 7 p.m. Wow, 7 p.m. This is, 8 p.m. That's quite early. You know, how long am I going to lay hand? You see what I mean? My mind just got mad at me. My mind said, no, you have to preach. Because people expect you to preach. And my spirit said, no, you lay hand right now. So I have to shut my mind down and started to lay hand. Actually, I was mad to myself that I didn't preach. But I couldn't preach anyway because I did not have the anointing to preach. I didn't have at all. I couldn't preach. It's just struggling inside me. But what happened that night, in fact, a few guests left right away. They were mad at me that I didn't. They thought that this pastor is crazy, didn't preach the word. But I tell you, that night we had a breakthrough. Because many, many Thai old believers who were not used to revival got a chance to come out to me 3 or 4 times. And they got deeper and deeper until they all got laughter. They all got deep in spirit. They all changed. And all of them say, I join your church. All of them say, tonight is a breakthrough night for me. And can you imagine if I lay hand on them on one time? Because I have limited time, only half, and this is like 100 people. I cannot lay hand on everyone 3 times. But because I have 3 hours, I can lay hand on people 3 times. So people really got deep into the spirit. And anyway, while I was laying hand, I shared the word of God. And at the end of the service, we keep worshiping until midnight. It's amazing, the presence of God. So you need to listen to God. Amen. Now, when you pray, you need to understand that prayer is about intimacy. It's about communion with God. But it requires also your discipline. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciple also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. My dear brothers and sisters, you know, anything about God, including prayer, is a discipline, is denying yourself. Amen. Because you have million things that you can do. You can watch TV. You can check your internet. You can check your email. You can sleep. You can read some novel book. You can study your homework, prepare for the test. You can talk to your boyfriend. You can dream about your boyfriend and girlfriend. You can get on the phone, talk to your friend and laugh about it. You can go and have shopping. You can watch movie. You can do so many things. But to pray, you need to deny those things. Deny the thing that your flesh wants to do. Is that right? So actually, prayer is about denying yourself, denying your flesh. In fact, I'm going to share in detail about my trip to Bangkok this time. This is one of the most life-changing trip in my life. It's the most powerful trip I have ever had in my mission trip. It really changed my life. When I was there, I felt two things. I hope that people will be with me from Seattle. I say, I hope somebody can come with me and take videotape, take the tape, DVD, to the whole meeting every single night. It's so powerful. It's like heaven. And I was so feeling so bad that we don't have anyone tape it, because I cannot tape and minister at the same time. I have the camera with me, but I cannot do anything. And one thing that I learned is that in Thailand this time is that people were so hungry for God. And when I came home, I talked to God that, God, why it's so different from America? Why people here take it for granted with the anointing, with the word of God? And God spoke to me this. God said that, you know, when you go to a big party and you eat all kind of good food at 3 to 5 p.m., after that you have another party to go at 5 p.m., another house, friend's house. Even though the food in the second house is marvelous, delicious, because you're already full, you cannot eat anymore. And the same thing happened in America. People are so full of stuff in their life. TV, internet, materials, money. So they don't have any more appetite for God. But people in Asia, especially in Bangkok, they were so dry and so hungry. I tell you, they suck the anointing out of me. Everything I preach, they say, amen. I people really hungry for God. You know, as a pastor, I'm so tempted to move back, to move to Thailand, to just be a pastor over there, because people are so hungry for God. You want to be around people hungry, because they will pull the anointing out of you. You feel it, the anointing. You know, I'm going to share more in detail tomorrow. Anyway, and you cannot deny yourself unless you make yourself hungry. So you need to really deny the love of the world, the love of the things of the world, to go and seek God. I make that decision every day. Every day I wake up, I look at my house. I have a beautiful house here. But I say, I don't love this house. This is just my vessel, to the material that I use to serve God. I'm not going to love my car. I'm not going to be full with my stuff in my spiritual stomach. I'm going to be hungry for God all the days of my life. Amen. Deny yourself. And when you pray, you surrender to God. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. When you pray, you cannot come to God like a boss, telling him what to do and listening to him. This morning I woke up, I went into the shower to prepare myself, brush my teeth. While I was brushing my teeth, God spoke to me. Obedience is more important than anything else. Submission and obedience. You obey me no matter what other people respond. You obey me even though you may not have a big ministry. Obedience and submission. The Bible says in James chapter 4, 7 to 8, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to submit to God and say, God, is your will. You need to surrender. You need to obey. You know, lately God really showed me. God spoke to me a couple of days ago. Pastor Da talked about a group of a group of poor people that a lot of churches would like to bring food and give money. And we talk about, should we do that? And you know what happened to me while she was talking? Suddenly the voice come from heaven to me. Mom, you don't need to copy other people. Yes, many things are good to do, but you don't need to copy other churches. You do only what I tell you to do. Don't be controlled, manipulated by the society. Oh, they do that, those churches do that, I have to do this. No. I will listen to God because I have only 24 hours a day. I have limited budget in my life, budget of time, budget of money. I cannot do everything like other churches do. I have to focus on what God tell me to do. And I think this applies to everyone, that we need to submit and obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice means try to do many, many good things like other people, follow the society, you know, follow other churches. No. We need to spend time with God, listen to God, what God wants us to do. Amen. Okay. So, we need to submit to God, surrender, and listen to Him. Spend time, not just talk. I have found that since we become more and more mature, we talk less. We listen more. Because you know that many times, a lot of junk talk out of your mouth. So if you are more mature, you talk less because you are careful not to talk something that is not important or displeasing to God. Amen. Now, this is the kind of basic things. What you say when you pray? What do you say when you pray? Number one, you praise God. You praise God. The word praise God means you make God happy. You make God enjoy your presence. You glorify God. You bring the glory of God out from your mouth and from your heart, and you make God smile. Another word, simple. You know, when you like somebody, you will go to that person and say, "Oh, you know, friend, you really dress very nice today. Your hairstyle look good. You look awesome today." How? I believe that if somebody talk to you like that, you will have a big smile in your heart. Maybe you don't smile outside because you don't want that person to feel that, "Oh, I love this kind of word." But in your heart, you know, and that's why a lot of girls get into trouble, because guys know how to get girls. Whether he speaks from his heart or not, but he will come to you. "Oh, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. Your eyes, and the lady just, you know, drop and then fall in love with that guy. But we do the same thing to God in a sincere way, that we tell him how awesome he is, how good he is. Praise means make God smile with your words, with your heart, with your action. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Wow, the 24 elders in heaven, they bow down and they say, "God, you are worthy to receive glory." They worship, they praise God. So the same way, when we come to God, we need to tell God how good He is, how wonderful He is to our life. Amen. Actually, tomorrow, I prepare to preach about the glory of God. And when I prepare the sermon, my mind spoke to me. I give you an example. My mind spoke to me. "Oh, this sermon is not going to be popular. The guests and the member will not like it." I'm serious. While I was preparing the sermon, I don't know, my mind or the devil talked to me. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. "Son, in the churches, pastor have been preaching to members about how they do this and do that from the scripture so that they will be successful all these years. Talk about the center is around them. What they're going to do to be good husband. What they're going to do to be successful wife. They. Listen to most sermon nowadays. Go get CD. But God spoke to me, Son, how many times people talk about me? I repented and said, oh, God, it's true. You notice that most of the sermon talk about how to love, how to do this, how to do that, and how you're going to be a good wife, good whatever, you know. Don't take me wrong, nothing wrong about those teaching. But pastor or preacher scared of talking about God because they don't want to offend people. But God told me when I was preparing the sermon that you need to change the arrow. Talk about me. Because those who know me can do great things and exploit. The problem that people listen to the sermon and they don't cannot do anything with it because they don't know their God. Wow. God talked to me. I really repented. So I will stand up tomorrow and preach with confidence that this is what the, what the church need to hear about God. Not just about you. Not just about the members. So it's funny. God really get on me. So we need to praise God. Talk about God. Amen. Now, number two. Number one, praise God. You see, even God can rebuke the pastor. God can correct the pastor. Okay. Now look at the second thing. Give thanks to God. Okay. We need to give thanks to God. The Bible says in Psalm 106 verse 1. Psalm 106 verse 1. Okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And for his mercy endures forever. Beautiful scripture. Give thanks to the Lord. We should thank God for everything. Ephesians 5 verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to give thanks to God always. So when you pray, not only spending time praising, but thank God as well. Can you tell me one thing per one person? What you can thank God for? Can you think about one thing that you can thank God for this morning? What you can thank God for? Okay, one thing. Tell me.
I thank God for the place I can live.
Okay, thank God for the place you can live.
I thank God. I'm not feeling, but I could attend here.
Amen. Good. How about?
I thank God for the people around me whom God sent to me to fellowship one another.
Amen. Thank God for people who sent to be your friend here. What else?
I thank God for His love and His plan for me that I found my purpose in my life.
Amen. God loves you. God give you purpose of your life. Amen. So we can thank God for many things. Amen. Actually, I want to thank God for one thing. On the way back, this time I went to Thailand. I went on the coach and it's very difficult for me to sit in the coach. I just try to save money for church. So instead of buying business class, but it's so difficult because before I left town, I worked so hard, no sleep. Then over there, no sleep for 5 days, maybe 3 hours sleep a day, non-stop because I have to entertain my dad and then church, come back from meeting at 1 a.m., woke up again at 5 a.m. in the morning, couldn't sleep because of jet lag. During the day, you have to pinch yourself, pinch your skin to be awake. So when I got on the airplane, very difficult to sleep in the coach class, because you're tired. And thank God the whole plane from Tokyo to Seattle was totally full, except the seat next to me. Oh, can you imagine? The whole plane was full except one seat next to me. So I can stretch my body a little bit and go on the side a little bit. Oh, God is so good to me. And when I was sitting in the plane, I said, thank God you're really so gracious to me. And actually, the counter woman wanted to change my seat to the outside. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit told me, don't change. Keep that seat because it's inside. I like to sit on the eye side, the walking, area, so I can get in and out. But I was sitting in the right place because the seat in the middle next to me It's an empty seat. So I can put my stuff, I can stretch out my arm a little bit. So at least I have some room from Tokyo to, which is about 8 hours or something flight. Amen. So thank God for everything. Number three, not only praise God, not only thank God. Number three, confess our sin. Confess our sin. The Bible says in Psalm 32 verse 1, blessed is he or she whose transgression, mean breaking the law, sin, is forgiven, whose sin is covered. If you confess your sin and your sin is forgiven and your sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. You want to live in the bubble of God's blessing? If you want to live in the bubble of God's blessing, you need to confess your sin all the time, every single day. I confessed my sin yesterday that I was only want to preach things that people need to hear. So I confess that, God, I'm sorry, I need to preach what you want to say, not what people want to hear. You know, sometimes as a preacher, you are very controlled by people feeling in a church. You know, do I offend people? If today I don't preach, I just lay hand, are people going to be mad at me? You know what I mean? You become a performer, not a minister. You need to follow the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when you follow the Spirit, you can offend people because they have their own tradition and thinking, their own plan or pattern of how the church should run. Amen. So we need to confess our sin. The Bible says 1 John 1:9. The Bible, 1 John 1:9, the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everyone say all. So it's not only one kind. All kinds of sin. God can confess, God can forgive us all kinds of unrighteousness. Amen. So when you come to God in prayer, if God convicts you of some sin, confess right away. Repent, get rid of it. Don't keep those junk in your life. Amen. Those trash. The garbage. Get rid of all the sin. Okay, so that's number three. Number one, praise. Number two, thank God. Number three, confess. Number four, listen. You listen to God. You don't just talk. You listen too. This is something that a lot of people struggle. They come and just talk. Give me. Talk to God. Can you imagine if you have a appointment, you spend time, if a husband spend time with his wife, and then when you come and meet together, and the husband just keep talking, talk, and when the appointment is over, the husband walk away and never listen to the wife. You think how the wife is going to feel? Very bad. You never listen to me. And that's what happened. Many Christians has done that to God. They have been only talking. They have never been listening. That's why the Bible say in, where is it? Scripture. In Psalm 37. Sorry. Psalm 37 verse 7. Psalm 37 verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Everyone say, wait patiently. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Okay. Rest in the Lord. Be quiet in the Lord. Be still before the Lord and listen to God. You listen to God by reading the Bible, the logo. Logo means written word of God. And let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth and the mystery hidden by God. Let the rivers, deep water of the wisdom of God flow out from the Bible when you read the Bible. Okay? Or you can just be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I never drive a car without listening to God. I never stand somewhere. I just always listen to God, what God really wants to speak to me all day long. I keep my spiritual ear open all the time. I want to hear what God say each day for my life, what I need to do. Amen. So, like this lesson that I taught today, I asked God, what am I going to teach this Saturday? And God showed me, finish this lesson. So yesterday I prepared everything to be able to teach. Amen. So I asked God before I do it. Amen. So sometimes God change your plan. So listen to God, you're going to save a lot of heartache and problem in your life. Okay, not only listen, not only confess your sin, pray and thank God. Number 5, ask. Matthew 7:7 say, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So the reason we don't have because we don't ask. It's very important to ask anything, even small little detail. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. Keep asking. We talk about this so many times in our Christian walk that we need to ask God. But you notice that many Christians never ask anything. They just live day by day. You know, whatever you want to see in your life, you ask God specifically. Now, you need a job, ask God. You need whatever, an apartment, a house, whatever, you just ask God. I will keep asking God for the well-being of people. We just got an email. I just got an email from a brother, an English-speaking brother in Bangkok. His wife's brother is in Laos, who is sick with liver disease and cannot even get out of the bed right now. This lady is going to go to Laos to pray for him and share the gospel. We can ask God that this man will be saved and he will be healed. Why don't we ask God right now? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray for Telly, Lord. She's going back to Laos to witness to her brother who was afflicted by liver disease. We pray, intercede for this man and for our sister, Tu or Telly. In Jesus' mighty name, she will be anointed to preach the gospel to him, and he will be saved not only spiritually, but the liver problem will be recovered and the whole household shall be saved. We command the enemy to leave this person, and we command the liver sickness to go away, liver disease to go away, and this man's soul shall be saved. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So we can ask God. Amen. So please, anything in your life, just ask. Don't be anxious about anything. Ask God to help you. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously. Is it great? Our God is not stingy. Our God is a generous God. So whenever you ask him, remember he is a generous God. You look at God in the throne, the Heavenly Father, as a generous God. In fact, lately God speaks to me more and more, that any person who become more and more like Christ will be generous. And, you know, lately I and Pastor Da are really just joyfully help our relative financially in our hometown. Just help them. And we used to think that, wow, this is a big burden. But lately, for some reason, we just joyfully do it. And then God reminded me of Joseph. Joseph helped his brother and sister from the land of Canaan to come into Egypt, and he took care of the whole family. You know, people who love God and have anointing will be generous to people. God is a generous God. He will give you generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It will be given if you ask God. If you can ask for wisdom, you can ask for love, you can ask for power, you can ask. So don't come to God every Sunday just blank. When you come to the prayer line to be lay hand on, ask something. You know, when you pray, ask something. Keep asking God. And God can give to you. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 say, let us then approach, Hebrews 4 verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive, everyone say receive, mercy and find grace. Grace means supernatural power of God to help us in our time of need. So we can approach the throne of God with confidence. Amen. So, you know, don't feel hesitate to ask God of anything in your life that you need. You can come to God. Amen. So, the component of prayers, number one, praising. Number two, thanking God. Number three, confessing your sin. Four, listening. Number five, asking. Now, in order to have a confidence in your prayer that the prayer will get answered, there is a few conditions that you need to do. Like, you, in order to come to America, you need to fulfill a few conditions. They're gonna, I remember before I came to the US, they have me taken chest x-ray to make sure that I don't have tuberculosis or lung disease. They check my blood. They check my history with the FBI in Thailand to make sure that I didn't kill somebody and run away from the US to the US. Something like that. You need to fulfill certain conditions to get in. The same thing. In order to receive the answer from God, God doesn't want to spoil us. We need to fulfill certain conditions. And these are the conditions. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John 3, 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What a powerful scripture. Let me read one more time. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, how can you have confidence that God answers your prayers? By keeping his commandments. If you never tithe, you steal money from God, you don't give 10% to your local church, I doubt that your prayer is going to get answered on a regular basis. If you are mean to your wife, you always, you know, talk bad to her, you gossip about her, you talk bad about her behind her back, I wonder you're going to get answer from prayer. That's why the Bible says, husband, in the book of 1 Peter, husband, if you treat your wife with respect, with an honor, God can answer your prayer. You see, you need to obey the commandment of God. If you always, you know, rebel against your pastor, I wonder how God can answer your prayer. Because you don't obey his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We need to make a decision every day to obey the commandments of God in the Bible and do those things that he would be happy. He would smile. Amen. And your prayer will get answered. Look at another one. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Wow. So you can see here that if we ask God according to his will, definitely that prayer request going to be accepted by God to heaven. The angel will put in the golden bowl and the prayer going to be picked up from the bowl and he will execute and make it happen for you. The answer going to come one day or maybe that minute. Okay. So how do you know God's will? Reading the Bible, listening to biblical teaching, sermon. And that's why God told me to produce this CD series. God told me one day, son, do you know that my people, they listen to sermon and they take home only 5% of the sermon. So in order that they will be very grounded in the Word of God and really know what I want to say to them, they need to listen to my teaching many, many times. But you have limited time. You can speak one lesson only one time and then you have to move to the next subject. What do you do? Get the CD so that people can listen. In Thailand, members over there listen to our CD at least 5 times. That's why you talk to some new believers over there. They are like a 20 years old believer. They're so grounded in the Word of God. They're touched by the Holy Spirit every Sunday. So they are both the Spirit and the Word very full in them. So I pray that people in Seattle will really listen to CD in the car, will listen to CD while they're taking a shower. You know, listen again and again. Believe me, today, whatever I say today, you will contain only maybe 5 to 10%. Then tomorrow you forget what you learned today. You need to listen again and again so that you will know the will of God. Amen. Number 3. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards. Wow. He is not only a generous God that we read a while ago. He is also a rewarder. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Therefore, don't be fooled with the worldly stuff. Be hungry for God. How many people want God to reward you? Amen. What do you do? Be hungry for God and earnestly seek God. Don't be full of stuff on the world in your heart to the point that you are not seeking God anymore. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Don't be a casual seeker. Be a diligent seeker. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says, without faith, you cannot please God. So when you pray, pray by faith. And this is why one of the reasons I really love revival. I love revival because I noticed that the more the Holy Spirit fills us up with His fire, the more faith we have. Okay? So you can see here that we as Christian life, we need to have both. The Word, faith come by hearing of the Word of God, and we need the Spirit to fill us up with the fire, with the touch of God. God sent His fire in the end time, revival, because the Holy Spirit is the author of faith. It's the faith of the Holy Spirit. You remember, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith, and one of the gift of the Holy Spirit is faith. So faith is both the fruit and the gift of the Spirit. So I don't understand, sometimes people don't get out to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit by the anointed servant of God. I would run to the front and get prayed for as soon as possible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Then when you go into your prayer closet, when you lay hand on the sick, when you pray for certain issue, you're going to pray by faith that move the mountain. Amen. So you need both. Amen. Number four, you pray consistently and persistently. In other words, if the answer hasn't come yet, don't give up. Because sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer right away. Because it's not the right timing. Or maybe because He knows when is the best time. And the best situation that the answer gonna come. Amen. I learned this lesson many times in my life. I can share with you personally later on, because of the time limit. for the CD. But I learned so many times that sometimes I pray and the answer comes 2 years later, 1 year later. And when I look back, God, I understand now why you wait for 1 year. So I need to trust God and I need to be persistent in my prayer. I pray for my mom for 15 years before she got saved. 15 years, but she got saved at the right timing. Amen. Amen. So be persistent in prayer. If you turn to Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. 18. The Bible said, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Everyone said, not lose heart. In other words, don't be discouraged if the prayer answer hasn't come yet. Saying, there was in a city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me, for my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said, so for a while the judge did not answer. He just ignored her, you see? He ignored her. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Wow. You see that this lady did not give up. She was very persistent in asking the judge to give her justice. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge say. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, and he will he really find faith on the earth? You say again, faith. So when you pray, this is a subject about prayer. About prayer. That when you pray by faith, you don't give up. You keep asking God. You keep thanking God for the answer. You don't say, God, okay, bye-bye. You don't answer me, I give up now. You need to be persistent in your prayer. If you pray for your mom right now, for your dad right now, for their salvation, you pray for something in your life that you know that that is exactly the will of God, don't keep up. Keep asking, keep praying, because God will come true for you. Okay, let's look at another scripture in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. This is kind of same story, similar teaching. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him? Let me ask this question. Is it fun somebody knock on your door at midnight and you're in bed already with your family? You know, in that time when Jesus was talking about this, the house was small. The kids and the family members sleep in a small house. So if somebody knocked the door of the house, what happened? The whole family will wake up. So somebody knocked at the door at midnight, it means that that person bothered you. In other words, God tried to say this, you never bother me. You can ask me. You can come to me at any time, even midnight. Don't worry, you never bother me. Maybe for man, I don't want people. A week ago, I got a phone call at 2 a.m. two times. It's very hard for me because I was so tired. Somebody called me at 2 a.m. I couldn't even hear what the person said very well. My mind was, I'm a human being, I'm not God. So, and that's not fun. So somebody call you at 2 a.m. two times because of some personal problem that I cannot solve anyway. you need to go to God. I'm a human being as a pastor. I cannot do much, you know. So at midnight, say to him, friend. And this is not only a relative. It's not like you go to your dad will open the door and say, oh, son, daughter, come in. I don't mind you bother me. But his friend, lend me 3 loaves. Oh, not even life and death. He wants 3 loaves at midnight. Not like, oh, you know, my wife is dying. We have to go to the hospital. So could you please get the car, take my wife to the hospital? It's not the life and death issue. This is 3 loaves at midnight. And not only that, not for himself. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Not only midnight, not only 3 loaves, it's for his friend. So, wow. God tried to make it clear that, hey, son and daughter, don't bother me, little thing, at any time, and even for your friend. Actually, this scripture talk about intercession. Don't worry to bother God to stand in the gap between your country or your nation and God, between your loved ones or your pastor and your church and God, between your friend and God, and ask God at midnight for even little things like 3 loaves for the sake and on behalf of your nation, of your friend. I want to encourage you. Three of you came from Japan. One come from Hong Kong. Actually, I just got email from Judy this morning, and I want to visit Hong Kong to start revival church over there. Could you please stand in the gap day and night that we're going to have that kind of church, like in Bangkok and Nakhon Pathom and in Seattle, in Hong Kong and in Japan. Stand in the gap, crying out to God day and night and say, God, I come and knock at the door. My friends in Hong Kong, my friends, my loved one in Japan and Okinawa need the touch of God, need the fire of God, need good churches. Could you please raise a pastor? Could you please send somebody? Could you please stir up? Could you prepare the ground? Could you prepare the place? God, help me. I'm praying right now, actually. I'm not just teaching. Prepare. Amen. Hallelujah. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him, and he will answer from within and say, you see, this is the reaction of a man. A man will answer like this, a human being. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. I mean, he didn't even get up. The man in this story still lie on the bed and shout out, hey, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And then Jesus say, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, everyone say persistence, never give up, keep bucking God, keep having faith in God, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Everyone say, as many as he needs. God is a generous God. God is a rewarder of those who seek him and find him. And then Jesus continued to say, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Well, 3 times. You know, when a kid want to have a cookie at midnight, maybe he could stand in front of the door of his parents' room and say, Mom and Dad, can I have cookie? Where are they? Where are the cookies? And the dad and mom in the room will say, it's too late now, you go to bed. But if he is hungry enough, he will go back to the door, and what happened next? He can knock on the door. Dad and mom, I'm really hungry, I need those cookies. And the parents will continue to say, no, it's too late now, go to bed. But if he is persistent, what he gonna do next? He gonna come down to the kitchen and he gonna look for cookies himself. He asks, he knocks, and he gonna seek. Is that right? If you are really, really wanting something from God, badly, desperately, You're going to keep asking, knocking, and seeking. And if you do that, it will be given to you. It will be opened to you, and you will find. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, verse 13, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's why we need to ask for the Holy Spirit. You know why? The Holy Spirit is the person who will bring every possible blessing from heaven to you. He is the person that can bring the blessing to you. The best thing to ask in your life is the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, the presence of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always, everyone say always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Everyone say perseverance. Mean persistent, not give up. Amen. And supplication for all the saints. This is a powerful scripture. Keep praying for the saints, keep asking, don't give up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Wow. Don't stop. If God doesn't, the answer hasn't come yet, keep praying, keep asking. Amen. So the fourth principle of prayer to get the answer is consistency. Depending on God's mercy. Don't worry about what time you bother God. Even little requests, ask God for those things. Amen. So this is a very important lesson that every new believer and every Christian should practice. Let me read two more scriptures and I will close in prayer to encourage you. For actually I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe and you will ask them. Ask by faith. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, in Jesus' name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen. So, ask Jesus, ask the Father. When you ask the Father in Jesus' name. Jesus will bring the message to the Father and the Holy Spirit will make it happen for you. Amen. So, I pray that this lesson will really change your life. I pray that everyone who listened to this CD will listen again and again, 5 times, 10 times, and the God's Word and the Holy Spirit will change their life. God really spoke to me. Prepare all this CD and feed my sheep with the Word of God. God told me, you will not be there forever. One day you may have to travel a lot to different nations. You will not be in Seattle all the time like in the early years. You're getting older. You cannot teach the same thing again and again. Therefore, we need to put this in the CD. People can listen in the car, everywhere they go, in the plane. And I pray that everyone who listens to this CD will be hungry for the Word of God. I love all of you. I want to. God told me to feed the sheep. I don't do this for any money, for any reputation. I don't care if people know me in the world or not. The only attitude that I have is to feed the sheep of God that He put under my care. And I want everyone to grow in the way of God. Every time I think about this, I want to cry because I feel that God really loves His sheep. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray that you will, Lord, put the Word of God in their spirit and there will be people of prayer. Father, may your word continue to bubble in their heart. You remind them all this word by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, help us to grow from glory to glory to become more and more like Jesus Christ. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless all of you. I love you. I come back and meet you again in the next session. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.